And I know that they are getting good rest, and I know that they miss you. My wife and I, we went on sabbatical last year, and I have to say that was a very anxious time for me personally, because it was a time when we never experienced sabbatical, and I had a whole lot of anxiety. What's gonna happen when we leave? But praise God, we had some really amazing people in Queens to help us. And I want to thank all of the brothers and sisters who are using their gifts and talents over the years to build up the church, and especially during the Alloways sabbatical. Thank you guys so much. And I also want to thank Daisy Oguaya for her faithful service. We love Daisy. Thank you, my brother. When Robin and I first came to Queens, Daisy and Nietzsche were here leading the Brooklyn church, doing a great job. Nietzsche is with the Lord right now, and we miss him, but we're so encouraged to have Daisy here with us. Amen. Now I have this clicker, and this is the first time I'm using the clicker, so let me see if this works. Just press the big play sign, right? Okay, great. So that's me right there. Let's see. Okay, we're going to get to that. Right, there we go. Before we get into my favorite pictures, I do want to encourage the Brooklyn Church. As you know, we have collected, we have begun collection of our 2025 Special Missions Contribution. The New York City Church collected $716,495 as of June 10th. And that represents 62% of our goal of $1.15 million. I always seem to forget the one. I always tell people 1.5, but it's really 1.15 million that we are trying to collect. Praise be to God, the Brooklyn region collected $83,006. So give yourself a big hand. And I do want to thank you for your support, your ongoing support of the mission. It is Father's Day, and I'm going to take some time here to show some of my favorite dad pictures, okay? And so that's the disclaimer. These are my favorite dad pictures. These are the things that I like to look at, okay? I'm the dad here today. And I want to acknowledge my families here, my beautiful wife, Robin, my son, Jeremy, his girlfriend, Sarah, and my daughter, Gabrielle, is here. So I just want, this disclaimer is for them. These are my favorite dad pictures. We'll start with this one. This is me and my dad, Nolly. It's one of my favorite pictures of him. My dad passed away a couple years ago. I miss him very much. But this is just a memory that I have. We were at his house, and my dad is a big joker, or I should say was a big joker. So he was joking about something, and we just snapped that picture. This is another of one of my favorite pictures. I think this was our first, like, official photo shoot as a family. Like, we got all dressed up and everything, and we were in Trinidad, and you see the beautiful mountains. Yes, my wife and I were missionaries in Trinidad for 9 years. Those are the mountains right there behind our place, and I think the photographer was giving us something to laugh at to try to get the family to laugh. And you see Robin's big, beautiful smile there, and everyone else is trying to be happy during this picture, okay? Okay, so there is no greater joy for a dad than to see his kids get along. Can I get an amen from the dad? There is no greater joy, no greater joy. And I have to say that Jeremy and Gabrielle, they loved each other. They really, they did, they cared, they looked out for each other, and they played with each other, and they still love each other, you know. But back then, man, it was just a joy seeing them together, you know. So that's one of my favorite, another one of my favorite pictures. Now this one, dads have duties, right? And I take my duties seriously. This picture is me. I think I was trying to extract a zit from Jeremy's face. That's what I was doing. So like I said, these are my favorite dad pictures, right? And so zits are part of human life. It's just, everybody has them. You just have to know the right time and place to get them out. And so this was a major responsibility that I took. I took it very seriously. And that's one of my favorite pictures. This one is another one of my favorite pictures. This is, I think this was in Miami. We were in Miami for 8 years. And this was a Christmas celebration. And I think we had given Gabrielle a gift. And she ran over and gave Daddy a big hug. Isn't that sweet? Favorite dad pictures. Okay, oops, can I go back? Okay, this is another favorite dad picture. We were at my mother's house. So there's grandma on the left, that's Robin, that's my eldest sister Natasha beside me, and the gentleman holding Gabby is my brother, Andrew. So that's our family picture. We were all visiting grandma, and this is another one of those great memories. Okay, this one is another one of my favorite pictures. I used to read with the kids. Sometimes we would just read books. Sometimes we would read the Bible together. And Jeremy used to really like to read. I believe he still does. You still like to read, right? Jeremy still likes to read. So here we are, just kind of looking at a magazine. He's pointing things out to me. We're reading. So that's one of my favorite memories. Oh, sorry. This one. Now, boy, this was Gabrielle's 16th birthday party. And boy, the 16th birthday party for girls was a whole new thing, which I learned. And it was quite an extravaganza. And so grandma came up, and this is our family with a huge happy 16th birthday cake for Gabrielle. That was quite a memory. Is that it? No, I got another one. That one. Right. So this one is a picture. That's my dad there. And we had visited Trinidad. We were away for a little bit. So we came back and we visited. And he was upstairs working out. My dad loved to work out. And he came downstairs and we just took this picture. And, you know, just to see Jeremy and Gabby with my dad looking so happy was a great memory. And so those are some of my favorite dad pictures, okay? These are the pictures that I treasure as a dad, all right? All right. Now let's get into the word. So the message today is the narrow road to heaven and the presence of false prophets. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and your kindness. We pray that as we study your word today, your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Your Holy Spirit will speak to our souls. I pray that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you have set it out to do. I pray that I would be faithful to your words, that I would accurately convey the message and the meaning that you intended to be conveyed when you spoke these words. And Father, we know that in keeping your word, there is great reward. And we pray that we would exalt your word. These are the words of eternal life. We pray that we will honor your words. And we pray that our hearts will be open to receiving what you have to say today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The text that we're going to read is in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 20. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." So the scripture says, there's two parts to what I'm going to be talking about today. It says, enter through the narrow gate. So I'm going to be talking about that, and then he says, watch out for false prophets. So those are the two aspects of this passage that I'm going to talk about today. Enter through the narrow gate. There is a wide gate and there is a narrow gate. There is no in-between gate. Can I get an amen? There's no in-between gate. There is a wide road and there is a narrow road. There's no middle road. At this very moment, all of us are on one path or another. Whether you recognize it or not, whether you are aware of it or not, you are either currently going through the wide gate or the narrow gate. You are either on the wide road or the narrow road. You choose what gate you're going to enter. You choose what road you are walking on. The choice is yours. Jesus emphasizes personal responsibility. You cannot blame someone for the road that you choose to be on. You can't blame someone for the gate you choose to be walking through. And one of the great traps of modern society is that we fall into this trap of following the crowd. What is everybody doing? What road do the majority of people walk on? That's the road I want to go on. I'll never forget a day when I was in high school. There was a large meeting that all the boys were asked to attend, and we all had to go to the auditorium. And all the boys in my high school just sort of went into the auditorium, but for reasons I can't even remember, myself and another boy remained in the classroom. And a teacher came by and he saw both of us, and I thought, I am so in trouble now. And the teacher said, "What are you boys doing in this classroom?" And the boy who I remained silent, but the boy who was in the classroom next to me said, "Sir, I don't know what's going on in the auditorium? And the teacher said, but didn't you see all the other boys going into the auditorium? Why didn't you follow them? And the boy said, if those boys were going to kill themselves, why should I follow them? I thought surely blows and wounds would be administered that day to that boy. But you know, there are certain conversations that I never forgot. That was one of them. If everyone is going in a direction that will ultimately harm themselves, why should I follow them? It is an important question to ask. What is the final destination of all the people who we are so desperate to follow? Jesus says, you can find the narrow road. You can discern what road you are on. We all have been given faculties by God to know the difference between the wide road and the narrow road. And he says only a few will find it. And the question is, will you be one of the few? That's the question. Will you have the courage to say, I am not going on the road that everybody wants me to go on, because I don't want to join them in their final destination? Wherever you are today, right now, you can find the narrow road. Watch out for false prophets. Jesus says, there will be false prophets. And he says, watch out for them. He didn't say, well, maybe they may come, maybe. He says, there will be false prophets. And again, it is my personal responsibility to be on the watch. Let me say that throughout the entire scope of biblical history, there has always been a problem with false prophets. Always. Don't think it's something strange. There was a false prophet in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, with only two human beings there. Somehow, a false prophet was there. Take this fruit. It is good for you, the false prophet said. That did not end well. Warnings about false prophets are enshrined in the law. Enshrined in the law. Meaning, anytime the nation of Israel read the law, they would read this. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you will love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold him fast. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, from the way your Lord God, the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. Make no mistake, this was a problem that God warned these people about. The punishment for deceiving the nation of Israel was death. This was not a small issue. This was not some trivial matter. This was a big problem that was enshrined in the law. He warned the people about being influenced by false prophets. False prophets have corrupted God's people throughout history. No one can forget the courage of Elijah, who said this to the king of Israel. "I have not made trouble for you," Elijah replied, "but you and your family's father have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. That took place in 875 BC. The prophet Elijah stood among 850 false prophets and he challenged them. "How long will you waver between two opinions?" Elijah stood his ground. And he brought about a great revival for the people of Israel. 875 BC. 200 years later, Jeremiah said this to the people of Israel. "Beware of your friends. Do not trust anyone in your clan. For every one of them is a deceiver, and every friend a slanderer. Friend deceives friend, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. You live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me." Deception and lies had overtaken the nation of Israel like a plague. This was a problem. And it still is a problem in our modern era. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 23, AD 30. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Even Jesus, when he saw the condition of the nation of Israel, pointed out the fact that there were false prophets in Israel. Brothers and sisters, we would be in error to think that this problem has been eradicated in our generation. What makes a prophet false? A false prophet is one who teaches or propagates doctrines that are contrary to the word of God. A false prophet is one who teaches or propagates doctrines that are contrary to the word of God. We see an example of this with God's plan of salvation. God said very clearly, he wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen? The Apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, preached this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This is God's plan for salvation. It's very clear and it's very simple. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But yet, don't fail me now, remote. But yet, many people in our generation teach the sinner's prayer. It's all over the internet. It's everywhere. Right? And the sinner's prayer goes like this: "Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my heart and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life and make me the person you want me to be. The sinner's prayer looks something like this. It differs from place to place. And my question to you is, can you spot the difference? Can you spot the difference? Well, first of all, there is a difference. Both of those statements cannot be true together. One is true and one is false because they contradict one another. Acts 2, Peter says, repent and be baptized. The sinner's prayer says, no, you don't need to do that. This is what the sinner's prayer says. You don't need to do what the apostle did, what the apostle instructed. You don't need to do what is written in all the New Testament. You don't need to do any of that. Do this. And I ask you, who is behind the sinner's prayer? I will tell you, nowhere in the sinner's prayer is the sinner's prayer found in the Bible. None of the apostles taught the sinner's prayer. And no one in the New Testament ever prayed the sinner's prayer to receive salvation. If anybody can point out to me right now one person in the book of Acts that said the sinner's prayer, I will give you $100 right now. A million. You see, I would say a million, but I don't have a million. I would say it, but I don't have it. I give you $100 right now. Just come right now and show me. Sean, here you go. Here it is. Book of Acts. Give me my $100. Exactly. Exactly. Silence. You know why? It ain't there. Therefore, anyone who teaches the sinner's prayer, that the sinner's prayer is a path to salvation, they are teaching a lie. And we can conclude that those who propagate the idea of the sinner's prayer as a path to salvation, they are indeed false prophets. Now, they may look good. They may fool you with their outward appearance. They may be very charming. They may be very eloquent. But they spread error concerning the word of the Lord. Stay away from them. Where do false prophets come from? False prophets come from inside the church and outside the church. They don't come just from one place. Outside the church. Do you know that there are 38,000 church denominations in the world today? That's exactly what I said. There's a book that I got that from. It's called The Christian World by Martin Marty. Phenomenal book. Martin Marty is a church historian. And he wrote in his book, there are 38,000 church denominations in the world today. 38,000. I read that statement several times because I thought I was not seeing it properly. 38,000. Each denomination has their own view, their own way of thinking, their own philosophy. Now, they may believe in some of the core teachings, which is Jesus being the Messiah, but the difference of doctrine, especially the plan of salvation, varies. There's also the media. There's YouTube, podcasts, news outlets, social influencers. All of those people are right here. They have access to your mind because they're right here on your phone. All you have to do is a few clicks, click, 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 and boom, it's right there. They don't have to walk into the church now to influence you. They influence you in your private moments. All right? And then there's opinion leaders, co-workers, friends, family members who just either have differences of opinion or whatever. They just, hey, we just think differently about these things. And my point is this, that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to listen to other people's views and other people's ideas. But whenever any of these people, or the other denominations, media, or opinion leaders, whenever any of these people use whenever their influence on you is greater than God's word, something is wrong. Whenever they usurp the authority of God's word in our lives, it becomes a problem. So I'm just telling you, be on your guard, because people will try to influence you and draw you away from God's word. Inside the church, there's false prophets. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. All right? So the verse that I am particularly want to dial in on is verse 30, which is, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Paul warned about this in the first century. It has happened in different ways and in different forms throughout all modern church history. And it has even happened in our fellowship of churches. You know, people of influence have risen up and have said things and are trying to draw members away from the body of Christ. It happens. We have a responsibility to be on our guard. Okay? This is what the scripture says. So false prophets are going to come from inside the church, and false prophets are going to come from outside the church. We are the ones who have to bear responsibility and keep guard, keep watch, and make sure that we're not influenced by those people. Enter through the narrow gate and watch out for false prophets. All right, so let's do a survey today. I got a survey for you. You know when you go to bathrooms, they ask you, how was the service? I always find that weird, you know. Today, what did you get out of the service? This is your survey, right? You don't have to do it right now, but okay. What effect has Jesus' word had on me today? Option A, very little. I'm hungry and I'm ready to leave. I get that. If you feel that way, it's okay. I know it's Father's Day and you want to get out of here. You're getting ready for a big meal. Steve talked about it, right, Steve? Steve's like, ain't no one going to be telling me about what to eat while I'm going to have my own food, all right? Maybe that's where you're at and it's okay. I'm saying this. After you eat, stay with me here. Go and review this message and process it when your belly is a little full, okay? Option B. I never knew Jesus said these things. I want to learn more. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're like, what, Jesus actually said that about false prophets, about the narrow road? I need to learn more. There's a lot that Jesus said that we don't know. I remember growing up, even though I went to church, I never knew a lot of the stuff that Jesus spoke about. It was only when I actually sat down and started looking at the scriptures with somebody that I realized, wait a minute, this stuff is really life-changing. And so if your answer is B, I want to encourage you, ask somebody who brought you here, hey, let me see more about Jesus's teachings. And I know that there are people here in Brooklyn that will make themselves available to teach you. Personal survey, C. I'm confused. I heard things today I'm not sure I agree with. I get you. Trust me, I've been in many services where I'm not sure if I agree with what the preacher said. And sometimes the preacher was me. And I'm like, do I even agree with that? You know, I gotta go think. What did I say? Did I, you know, look, that's okay. That's all right. Well, here's what I'm saying. If your answer is C, I'm just saying, go back, look at these scriptures and ask yourself, well, at what point do I disagree? And maybe there's a way to resolve that disagreement. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I'm a human being. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I presented the word in a way that maybe didn't resonate with you. But go back to the word of God. Take me out the picture. Take me out the picture. I'm just a delivery boy, right? Just go back to the word and try and resolve the things that you're thinking with what is in the word of God. That will be a life-changing exercise. That's option C. Option D would be, I'm encouraged. My faith has been affirmed. My timer is going off. I will continue to stay on the narrow road and continue to keep watch for false prophets. Maybe that's where you're at. That everything that you heard today affirmed what you already believe and are doing. God bless you. Stay on the narrow road. Keep your eye on the narrow gate, and he will bless you. The narrow road to heaven and the presence of false prophets. Thank you for allowing me to preach to you today. I want to encourage all of us to be on our guard and to keep watch. Enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you all.